one. K-A-Y-T. Praising the Lord.
You're listening to the Discipleship Now radio broadcast with your host, Pastor Hilton Wells. Stay tuned and allow the Holy Spirit to give you power, insight, and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed.
Chapter 1, verse 1 through 19. I have to kind of give the whole backdrop for us to understand the story. It says, I'm reading from the New International Version, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grow up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it so ever severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. It's amazing today the emphasis that we put on so many things versus friendship. What you see here is a friendship. The word Ruth means friendship. Ruth was such a friend that she says, "No matter what's going on with you, Naomi, I understand that you're going back. You're going back without a husband. You're going back to a people that I don't know. But I want you to know that I'm going to be with you. I want you to know that I'm going to be a friend to you. Where you go, I'm going to go. Your God is going to be my God." She was a friend to Naomi. Many times we don't have friendship among women these days. A lot of times you have competition. There's treachery. But don't you know a woman that's willing to be a friend is a woman worthy of praise? That says, "I'll lay aside my agenda for your agenda." That says, "I'll be close to you. I'll join in with you. Your vision will be my vision. We'll go in together." There's a bonding that took place here. A lot of times, even in the church, we don't have close bonds. But I want you to know a woman that says, "You know what? I'm willing to not be selfish. I'm willing to not be independent. I want to connect with you that we can be one." My friend, that's a friend. somebody you can trust in the good times and the bad times, somebody that's going to be loyal to you, somebody that's not going to separate when it gets tough. Because Naomi told her, now I'm sure Naomi wanted Ruth to come, but she was looking out for Ruth's interest, saying, no, you go back to your own country. You're young enough. You can get another husband. But Ruth said, no, I'm a friend. Isn't that like Jesus? Jesus said, as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Ruth said, I'm going to be there for you. I want you to know Ruth was worthy of praise because she had an attribute of loyalty. See, when you find loyalty in a friend, you got something. Amen, somebody. Because many times we have what we call associates, people that are cool and close with us when things are going well or there's some advantage they can obtain. But a real friend will stick next to you no matter what's taking place. That woman, Ruth, was worthy of praise. Not only Jochebed and Ruth, but I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. We want to analyze a woman by the name of Sarah. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1 through 6. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, not only if they're a woman, and say, are you worthy of praise? And you say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Amen. Amen. Because a woman that fears the Lord is worthy of praise. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. See, we have to understand about beauty. We thank God for beauty, but eventually people do get older and that beauty tends to fade. And charm or flattery always has an ulterior motive. Just because somebody can talk nice does not necessarily mean they have your best interests in mind. We call that seduction. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. Untrustworthy. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, a woman worthy of praise is a good wife. Amen. Likewise, ye wives, be in submission to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women, see, that's not popular these days, the holy women, amen. You know, we raising our children today, and you ask, you know, how many of y'all young ladies want to be holy? Amen. I ain't talking to none of y'all. I'm just talking. Amen. How many of y'all want to be holy? Well, what we see on the magazines, what we see on the television, well, we want to raise them up to be similar to something we see in the world. But I want you to know that we ought to instill in our young ladies, we ought to instill even in ourselves the desire to want to be holy. Why? Because this is of great price in the eyesight of God. God is not looking at the cleavage. He's not looking at the legs. He's not looking at the thighs. He's not looking at how much money you can make. What he's looking at is, does this woman fear the Lord? Can I raise up a generation of holy people? For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Listen, that's nothing wrong with getting your hair done. Please get it done. Amen. Look at James and say, get your hair done. That's good. That's good. That's nothing wrong with wearing jewelry. Tell them, say, wear jewelry. We want you pretty. Amen. But the focus is we shouldn't allow that to be the main thing. Because what happens when you have no jewelry? What happens when your hair look a mess? Amen, somebody. If your heart is still good on the inside and you're living to please God, listen, you are a woman worthy of praise. And a lot of times what we don't realize is we attract who we are. We wonder, well, why I can't, you know, get, you know, some kind of man or good man as well. What you're attracting? Amen. If that inside is good, it's going to draw good. Amen. But if the inside saying, look at me, I'm sexy, where did the sex fiend come in looking for you? Amen, somebody. Is what's on the inside that's going to draw the right one to you. Amen. Holy women. Women that say, I love God and I'm not ashamed. Women that will say, brother, you got to wait. I'm going to be a virgin the whole time. Amen. You're going to draw the right man your way. Amen. But if everything is loose, amen, inside the tent, when the time comes, he's going to be glad he got in the loose tent. Amen. And he gone just as fast as he came. Amen. But if there's holiness there, they say, that's what I'm looking for. And they come in looking for you because you presented the right thing at the right time. Holy women. Then we see Sarah in verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with amazement. Now for this, let me read from the Amplified Version, verse number 6. It was thus that Sarah obeyed Abraham, following his guidance and acknowledging his headship over by calling him Lord, Master, Leader, Authority, and you are now his true daughters if you do right and let nothing terrify you, not giving way to historical fears or letting anxieties unnerve you. Truly, there's a challenge in families today on both sides. Of course, there's challenges with the man, amen, but we'll deal with that on Father's Day, amen. But when we look at marriages, a lot of times we have women that says, listen, I don't want to submit to no man because, you know, I've been hurt by a man. If I'm in a relationship, I'm with a man and he's not treating me right. Well, I think instead of me putting my faith and confidence in God, I'm going to put my faith and confidence in me. And I'm just going to leave this alone. Amen, somebody. I'm just going to preach to myself today. Amen. In other words, the reason why we have so many divorces is because there's a lot of selfishness in the hearts of people. Amen. Y'all don't have to say amen, but I know it's right. Amen. I've had to tell myself that. Amen, somebody. No, a lot of it's just selfishness. Amen. Or you see, in this day, we have a lot of lesbianism going on. Amen. To where now it's not just I got a husband and a wife. I got a wife and a wife. Amen, somebody. I got a wife. You know, is that right? Amen. Well, the reason why they got the wife, because one said, well, I can't submit to a man, but I submit to a woman acting like a man. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Perversion in the camp. Amen. But it's all because of this one little verse where we can't honor headship. And what we have to understand, we honor headship through the grace of God, not in our own strength. Everything we do as Christians, we walk by faith and not by sight. So it's by faith that I say, you know what, God, I'm going to love and honor my husband. Same thing with the wife. As men in the house of God today, we love and honor our wives. But I'm just saying on Mother's Day, a woman that says, I'm going to stick with him, she's worthy of praise. She could have walked out years ago, but she stayed there, whether it be for the sake of her family, the sake of her children, the sake of honoring God, she's worthy of praise. We may not want to give them praise because we see, you know, 4 and 5 divorces. Amen. And well, I just don't feel like doing this. I think I'll leave today. But a woman that stays, she's worthy. Y'all know it's right. You got tight subjects in America today. Amen. This is one of them. Amen, somebody. But that's why you see so much homosexuality and you see so much fornication, because God has an order. And when we raise our daughters to love God and to love their husband, and we raise our sons not to be playboys, but to be virgins, just like the women. And then they come together and they honor God. We start having holy families. But as long as Satan can get in there and put bad seed, we'll start thinking wrong is right. And as long as Satan got the truth perverted, God's seed would never go forth in the earth. Don't you know one of the greatest ways to destroy a family is to bring in homosexuality? Because two of the same gender can't produce a seed. So if I pervert the truth, I destroy the lineage of mankind. Don't you know that was the plan of the enemy? Amen. But it all starts when that headship is wrong. Well, I might as well get in there. It's not for a woman to dominate a man. See, I go based on the anointing levels. Once the anointing level hit, then I got clearance. It's like an airplane on a tech. You got clearance to hit the runway. The anointing gave me clearance.
We want to talk to people tonight.